Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to you all. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mdiwa Gavaza, and for today, we do touch on a topic that we have been following quite a bit over the last year or two, precipitated by the COVID-19 pandemic, and that is travel and tourism in South Africa. And for today, we're touching specifically on the airline industry, because that is a huge portion. You need that transport element to bring in your travelers into the country domestically, and also, you know, bringing people from outside of the country into the country. And for today, we are joined by one of the biggest airline operators in the world, that is Emirates, and we're going to be talking to Badr Abbas, who is the Senior Vice President for Commercial Operations for Africa over at Emirates, to give us a little bit of insight into the African market and Emirates' broader strategy around what they are doing here. Badr, greetings to you today.
Hi, thank you for having me.
No. Thank you so much for being with us. So we are talking to Badr in Johannesburg at the Marriott. There were some interesting announcements made today. I think one of the big ones is around route expansion. Maybe you could just start off by giving us some insight into how Emirates is thinking around its routes into South Africa and the region, and I guess some of the big announcements that were made today.
We have announced additional services to Johannesburg, Cape Town, and Durban. The ramp-up of our flights are part of our ongoing commitment to support South Africa's economic and tourism recovery through enhanced connectivity across all of our gateways. Our ramp-up reaffirms South Africa's strategic importance on our network, and we've prioritized service expansion and rebuilding our capacity in this market to unlock further growth potential. We're expanding our schedule to and from Johannesburg with 3 daily flights from 1st March 2023. Cape Town will be served with double daily services starting from 1st February 2023. We'll also be adding 2 more flights to Durban, making it a daily operation from 1st December 2022. The reintroduction of the new flights between Dubai and the Emirates 3 gateways in South Africa will enhance our schedule to 42 weekly services versus the 49 flights we had weekly pre-pandemic. We are hopeful by May 2023 we'll be able to bring back all 49 flights subject to market demand and our operational capabilities. When it comes to the Southern Africa, at the moment we operate daily flights to Zimbabwe, Harare, and Lusaka, Zambia. Yeah. We also operate 5 weekly flights to Luanda, Angola.
So when you're now thinking about something like that, because I heard you talking about capacity, and obviously the pandemic had reduced capacity across the board and across the world. So does the fact that you guys are now expanding your routes mean you are you now back to where you were before the pandemic, or are you now growing beyond where you were before the pandemic?
When it comes to the South Africa perspective, we have announced the enhancements of our schedule to 42 weekly services, as I mentioned, versus 49 flights we had pre-pandemic. Oh. So we're hopeful by May 2023 we'll be able to bring back all the 49 flights subject to market demand. When it comes on a network perspective, we are currently we fly to 130 passenger destinations, including Dubai. This represents 92% of our pre-COVID route network. So we launched a new daily service to Tel Aviv in June and restarted flights to London Stansted in August. By end March 2023, we expect to fly to 133 passenger destinations, such as Rio de Janeiro, Buenos Aires, in addition to Christchurch. When it comes to capacity recovery, we are currently operating at 74% of our pre-pandemic network capacity and plan to increase that to 80% by year end.
Just a quick one, you know, maybe for people that are listening to this. When you say network, is that all the flights that you guys as Emirates are operating, or does that include partner airlines that you guys work with around the world?
The network I mentioned at the moment is the Emirates airline network. It does not include the partners. The partners is in addition to the 130 passenger destinations which we have.
No, that's fine. At least we can see and hear that there is that there is that expansion, over 70% across the board. And then when I think about South Africa, just doing some quick maths in my head, it sounds like it's at least over 80% on that front to get back to the 49 that you were talking about just now. So very encouraging signs. And at least you guys are international, so it at least shows that there is traffic that is coming into the country. Right now, how are you guys as Emirates feeling about the upcoming festive season? Because I think this is probably going to be the festive season that has the least restrictions around the world. Is this a big part of the strategy in terms of increasing that capacity back to where it was?
Performance so far this year in the market from an outbound perspective has exceeded our expectations and is in line with the current capacity we are operating in and out of South African gateways. We're seeing healthy flows in and out of points in Europe, Middle East, and the Indian subcontinent, and we're seeing growing traffic to points in the US. South Africans are traveling to the UK, Germany, Turkey, India, Thailand, US, Saudi Arabia, and Dubai. These are our top destinations. Dubai is our number one destination this year, and with all our recent activities, such as fam trips, Dubai tourism roadshows, we're seeing an increasing demand for Dubai. Consumer segments, when it comes to the consumer segments, we are pretty much returned to pre-pandemic patterns, and the bulk of our traffic is leisure and VFR at the moment. Corporate is slower in getting back. However, with the need to conduct business in person, as well as international conferences getting back into gear, we believe we'll be seeing that segment rebuild very soon. So, and we believe the trend will continue throughout the festive seasons, and we will see strong bookings going forward. For example, when it comes to travelers, they are still planning in late stages, and this is a behavior that was left from the pandemic. The bulk of our bookings are for the next 2 months. Premium demand, for example, both in first and business class, is higher than industry average on Emirates across our three South African gateways.
That's actually very interesting, and I like the fact that at least we're getting a picture of what countries South Africans are interested in and are going to, and also at the same time, I guess, also the countries that are feeding into the region. Dubai being the number one, you know, destination, as you said earlier on, it's an interesting one, because I've personally been to Dubai twice in the last year, so I can definitely attest that there's a lot of traffic that is headed in that region. Maybe taking a step out of South Africa and just looking broadly at Emirates as a whole, how are you guys? Maybe you could talk to us about your investment, you know, whether that's products, whether that's offerings, whatever detail you can share with us, because we are a financial publication, so our audience always wants to understand the business, the investment side of things.
We have over $2 billion investments in products and services to ensure our customers continue to fly better. Firstly, we are undertaking the largest known airline retrofit program to refresh and refit 120 aircraft with the latest Emirates interiors and premium economy cabins. So starting from November 2022, four newly retrofitted A380 aircrafts are expected to roll out from the Emirates Engineering Center each month. We've also rolled out a new hospitality strategy in June 2022, created in partnership with one of the world's top hospitality management schools. So this is one of the biggest people, process, and product initiatives ever implemented at Emirates, touching on all aspects of service design and learning, and will empower frontline teams to deliver a consistent experience. We're also enhancing our menus across all cabin classes starting from August 22. In first class, this includes new offerings such as cinema movie snacks, generous portions of caviar, and more vegan options. Additionally, Emirates ICE, our IFE system, is unmatched in the industry when it comes to in-flight entertainment, have won Best in Sky award for the past 14 years. We're constantly investing to bring the latest popular content on board for our very diverse global flyers. And finally, we're investing $350 million in the next generation IFE systems for our new A350 aircraft to be delivered in 2024.
It really does sound as if there's a lot that's going on that front, and I'm really glad to hear the fact that at least the investment is being earmarked in different parts of the business. I can definitely see the A380 part, because I think, to my knowledge, Emirates is probably the largest operator of the, you know, of the A380 around the world. So seeing continued investment in that fleet is definitely a good thing, and also just the experience on the planes, because that's one of the big things that Emirates has tended to be quite famous for. Maybe as we are ending off, because I am quite aware, you know, that time on our end is, maybe to get your perspective on an outlook for the 2022-2023 year. How are you guys seeing things, both in terms of, I think you did touch on it earlier on when you were giving us, you know, how you guys are expecting the trajectory of flights to go by the time we get to, I think you said May next year, but maybe just your outlook both for the region and also just globally.
As you're aware, we have, for the more than 25 years, we have invested in and grown our operations to South Africa. We're working hard to restore our services to pre-pandemic levels to help generate more opportunities for South Africans to explore the world and for travelers from around the world to experience South Africa's unique natural experiences, world-renowned cuisine, and local culture. We're here for the long term and will help support South Africa's post-pandemic recovery. We have also ramped up our operations to South Africa and other parts of Africa and across the network to provide more access to South Africans to fly to all the Emirates 130 destinations. We are investing in products and services. We have expanded our airline partnerships. For example, in South Africa, we have four airline partners such as SAA, Air Link, Simair, Fly Safair, all performing well. And we're seeing high feeder demand on our regional and domestic market. We've also announced codeshare with 26 airline partners, and that will expand our network reach to over 300 cities. So some of the new codeshare partnerships activated this year are Garuda, adding more 8 points in Indonesia, Royal Air Maroc, Air Link, Aegean in Greece, United Airlines, and Air Canada. We've launched new daily service to Tel Aviv in June and restarted flights to London Stansted in August. By end of March, we expect to fly to 133 passenger destinations, including Buenos Aires, Rio de Janeiro, and Christchurch. The premium economy product, we believe that it will continue to expand, and there will be more aircrafts with this product in addition to the three destinations which are offering this at the moment. We have signed a memorandum of understanding, MOU, with the South African Tourism Board to jointly promote tourism and boost visitor arrivals and inbound traffic to South Africa. So that's also very exciting, which we will be working closely along with the South African Tourism Board in the next year or couple of years. We have also renewed our sponsorship deals, and we are, you know, doing, there are projects done for the local communities in South Africa. For example, the Emirates Airline Foundation has been making a difference in local South African communities for many years. So in South Africa, the foundation supports two charities. One of its long-standing beneficiaries includes Singak Wenza, based in Pietermaritzburg, KwaZulu-Natal. The charity aims to build sustainable early childhood education programs in economically disadvantaged communities. The second one is the Fikilala AIDS Project, another local charity supported by the Emirates Airline Foundation, based in Cape Town, provides HIV prevention programs in addition to offering support for people living with HIV/AIDS. In December 2014, we had deepened our commitment to South Africa by announcing sponsorship agreement with one of South Africa's top rugby teams, the Johannesburg-based Lions rugby team. And this will continue, which is now known as the Emirates Lions. This agreement saw Emirates become the title sponsor for the Lions rugby team with naming rights to the Lions' home ground, Ellis Park in Johannesburg, now known as the Emirates Airline Park. So Emirates will continue the sponsorship. In addition to other sponsorship, both the Nedbank Golf Challenge and Emirates also has sponsorship deals with Cape Town Sevens, which brings our total annual sponsorship spend in South Africa to over $3 million.
That's actually quite incredible, you know, the level of investment that you are highlighting and detailing there. And one of the things that I caught on a last point for us is you spoke quite a bit about the partners that you have in the local market, such as Fly Safair and SAA. And so maybe we can end today's discussion and conversation with just your thoughts around competition in the space, because I guess one understands the fact that you work with other airlines, but you also are competing with other airlines. How are you guys seeing or thinking about competition at the moment?
Our airline partnerships, as I mentioned, with SAA, Airlink, Simair, Fly Safair are all performing well, and we're working together hand in hand to ensure that everyone benefits, all performing well, and we're as a result seeing high feeder demand on our regional domestic market. Johannesburg continues to be the regional hub and the strongest performer when it comes to code shares. We are also working with other code share partners. So for us, you know, we look at it positively. We look at, we're optimistic about the future. We believe that it provides healthy competition, better, more options for the consumer, better pricing, you know, so it becomes more competitive and it becomes more attractive, and it's healthy for everyone.
No, most certainly. So that's been it. Very fascinating conversation about the airline industry, getting some facts and figures. It's really been, you know, very valuable learning experience from Emirates to understand their level of investment in South Africa and globally around their fleet, around the customer experience, around their partner network, around how they are just going about it. Over $3 million, I think, spent in South Africa alone with the various initiatives that includes sponsorship of rugby in the local league, that's of the Lions, and also at the same time, the biggest, you know, where we began this conversation is that route expansion, because right now Emirates is saying that they have recovered to just over 80% of where they were pre-pandemic, and they estimate that hopefully by mid next year they'll be back to where they were, and you know, a big part of that being the global recovery. A lot of analysts and experts expecting that this December is going to be very big for the travel industry around the world, because this will be the first festive season, you know, globally that will have the least restrictions. Not to say that there aren't any restrictions, but it's the least restrictions that we've seen in probably 2 to 3 years. So that's been it. We were in conversation with Bada Abbas, who is a senior vice president over at Emirates for commercial operations in Africa. Bada, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
This is Mudiwa's Take.
So really great conversation there with Bada from Emirates, and I think one of the biggest things to note is that recovery that's going on in the global travel sector. We've been hearing about that recovery for, you know, the greater part of this year, aided in large part by the lowering of restrictions around the world around COVID-19. So hopefully this festive season is likely going to be a huge draw for the travel travel industry, whether we're talking about the travel operators, your airlines and the like, but also just the broader ecosystem. And we'll definitely be keen to understand, you know, maybe we should be looking to have a conversation with SA Tourism, maybe at the start of next year, to count some of those wins and losses that would have come out from that festive season. So very bullish outlook in terms of what's going to happen, like I said, festive season. But even beyond the festive season, you're hearing Emirates saying that we're likely to then recover to the same amount of activity by mid next year. So very bullish outlook on travel and tourism from that point of view. And hopefully this will be one of those things. Tourism in South Africa before the COVID-19 pandemic was 7 to 8% GDP contributor, so really big part of the economy. So let's see how it goes. But Emirates, you know, definitely bullish on the South African market. And that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcasts on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab on Twitter with hashtag BD Spotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you to our amazing team. Our producer is Paige Muller. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail. And this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So for myself and the rest of the team, it is a good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.